This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Tom Coburn, who's also a Republican senator from Oklahoma. He joins us today as the U.S. Senate prepares to vote later today on whether or not to repeal the health care bill that passed the Congress last year and was signed into law by the president. And, Senator, it's great to have you with us.
It's great to be with you.
It's something that Senator McConnell, your party's leader in the Senate, promised to do. Harry Reid initially didn't seem very open to even having a vote on this, much less giving it a chance of passage. What do you think is the significance of just having this up or down vote, even though it's probably not going to pass?
Well, I think we need to keep the debate alive. We did everything wrong on the health care bill. If you ask people what's wrong with health care, the number one thing they'll tell you is it costs too much. And we didn't do anything except expand a system that costs too much and take away people's freedom and people's choices. And so having that debate and how it really impacts physician-patient care, how the government's going to be directing what you can get, when you can get it, and where you can get it, that's what this all results in. And it raises $800 billion in taxes over the next 10 years, and it cuts Medicare by $600 billion. It's a disaster as it's fully implemented. Could it work? Yeah, but the quality of care is going to go down, the freedom of choice is going away, and the cost is going to go up.
One of the things you focused on, in fact, in your floor speech on this was that pretty soon the quality of the care will be noticeably worse than it is right now. How will that become evident, and what's specifically going to trigger that?
Well, what's going to happen is to be able to afford to care for people under government plans, it's not going to be doctors that are going to be giving the care. It's going to be physician extenders, PAs, and nurse practitioners. And they're very good in a limited range of areas, but in complicated areas, they're not any good at all. They don't have the experience, nor the training. So what you're going to see is worse outcomes for very simple diseases. You're going to see delayed diagnosis on more complicated diseases, and consequently, significant increase in cost because the later you present and treat something, the more it costs. You're also going to see big mistakes made. And I outlined an example of a 90-year-old lady sent home from a hospital emergency room by a physician extender who should have been kept and actually was put back in the hospital that night because a physician jumped in between and put her in with a whited out one side of her lung, which was missed by a physician extender. So, I mean, those things are going to happen. If we use what really needs to happen to control health care costs, which is not everybody thinking somebody else is paying their bill, and we use what we use in every other thing we purchase, in other words, a discretionary consumer that says, how do I get the best value for me, then we're going to start seeing health care costs go down rather than up.
We're talking with Senator and Dr. Tom Coburn. And, sir, you are among those who have a pretty good working relationship with several members on the other side of the aisle, without necessarily naming names, although if you'd like to, go ahead. Have you heard any that supported it a year or so ago that are starting to regret doing that now?
Oh, I think there's several that regret it, but I don't know that they'll change their position. Those that are up for election, there's 23 of them up. I think 8 or 9 of those are in real big trouble because they voted for the health care bill. But I don't think that politically they're going to probably flip.
And you, in addition to serving in the Senate, have made a commitment to continuing to see patients even while you serve in Washington. What have you heard from your patients over the past several months since this has been implemented?
That they're not going to have the health care that they've had. They're not going to get to choose their treatment that's recommended by their doctor or get to choose their doctor. And that's true. To a great extent, the vast majority of people, we're going to end up seeing new people, especially if you're in Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, or a government health care plan. You're not going to have a choice of who you see. If you really think about it, one of our other problems in health care, which is not true anywhere else in our society, is we have undermined excellence by paying everybody the same who does the same thing with even with different outcomes. So I don't know about you, but when I have my heart bypass, I want the best guy doing it, not the worst guy. Yet Medicare pays the best guy the same as they pay the worst guy. So we haven't valued services on the basis of outcomes. We just treat everybody the same, which means it's a typical government-run program, and that's why we've got it. And when we fix prices, then what happens is you don't get innovation. You don't get choice and selection that gives you better outcomes. What you get is everybody's treated the same.
Senator, this has been a big issue, or big week for this issue, I should say, given that on Monday, Judge Vinson down in Florida sided with the 26 states and their attorneys general who challenged the individual mandate and its constitutionality. He sided with them and said if the mandate's gone, then the whole bill has to come down because it can't be supported without that individual mandate in there. You are the top Republican on the Judiciary Subcommittee for the Constitution. As you read through that decision, how strong were his arguments? How well do you think they'll hold up at the higher levels of the judicial system?
Well, my hope is they'll hold up well. You know, if in fact this health care bill stands at the Supreme Court, there's no longer any limits on the federal government in this country. It is a massive expansion that there is no limits on the Commerce Clause, which means anything we want to do at any time, we can. That's the real play. It's not just that we're going to impact health care and force people to buy something they don't want to buy. We're going to open the door for the federal government to be involved in every aspect of every individual's life.
One of the things that critics of the law have said is that they're worried that even though all of the parts of this won't be implemented until 2014, if you get enough of a head start, it's going to be hard to stop this train, even if something does happen in the legal system or through the legislative repeal process. What do you make of the fight going on right now over whether or not the administration needs to stop implementing this law as a result of the decision?
Well, they're not about to do that. They're going to go full bore, and they're going to fight it. But I don't think that's a big problem. I think we can, if in fact we win at the Supreme Court, it gives us a chance to really fix the real problems in health care, which are costs. And I'm willing to work with anybody that wants to fix the real problems. And we had introduced several bills that would do that. That would actually, and CBO scored it, would actually save hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
Some of the things we heard about were shopping for insurance across state lines, tax breaks for health care costs, basically using that as a deduction. What are some of the other ideas, real quickly, that you had?
The big thing is to make you reassume that you're responsible for your health care and give you a refundable tax credit where you can buy what you and your family need, and you recognize that with this refundable tax credit, that you're going to make a decision about the deductibility. See, the real problem is if you were to take a car and your auto insurance paid for your tires, your oil changes, and all this other thing, you'd buy the best tires every time. You'd get your oil changed on time because it's free, essentially. You know, in other words, if what you would do is stop a lot of overutilization, and you would markedly increase discretionary concerns about what something costs and whether or not you really need it. So you'd put market forces back in control of healthcare. Ask why everything else that is technologically driven in this country has gone down in price, and healthcare, which is technologically driven, has gone up.
Last question before we let you go, sir. I don't know if you're much of a prognosticator, but what kind of vote do you expect tonight?
Oh, probably 48 or 49 for repeal.
And that'll obviously fall short. But and then in terms of where we go from here, it's basically a piece by piece, 1099s and so forth down the line?
Well, the 1099 needs to come out. Everybody knows that's stupid. The Class Act needs to come out because it's another bankrupting program that is not fiscally sound outside of the 10-year window. And the only reason they put it in there is because they could get $180 billion to pay for it.
Senator, we'll be watching carefully, not only tonight, but as this all unfolds in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
You bet. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, sir. Oklahoma Senator and Dr. Tom Coburn. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.